Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Friday. It's January 24th, 2020. Tell you what, you talk about a heavy news day, heavy news week. Never, ever before have I needed the bean more than today. I need the bean, the coffee mug. I need the bean, and of course, on the front, perhaps, or the obverse is Hagman Coffee with some coffee beans there, and on the back is I need the bean. Thought I'd just share that with you. HagmanStore.com, HagmanStore.com, where you can also buy our gourmet coffee. Proceeds go to legitimate organizations that fight human and child trafficking, including the sex trafficking of children. And the organizations are Vets for Child Rescue, Craig Sawyer, and Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness, his SIIU organization. I just want to tell you this real quick because I cannot stress this enough. Folks, I don't know how, I'm just so frustrated. I don't know how in the world people can believe, for example, there are organizations that exist that, there was recent news, 2,100 children rescued from underground military bases by the Marines in California. By this Pentagon Pedophile Task Force, which, by the way, as far as I have, my research has been able to take me, including members at the Pentagon, it doesn't exist. So, but yet there are people that still propagate this, bunk. In my view, it's bunk. Go ahead and sue me, you know, keep suing me, for spouting the truth. All right, but here's the thing. It takes away the legitimacy of our fight. When I say our fight, I mean yours and mine, no one else. It's our fight against this heinous action. So that's not to put anyone down. I'm just saying, you know, do your due diligence before you – I would just urge everyone to do their due diligence. You know, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and – when that happens, it's just a mess. It really is. But news, great news. March for Life rally in D.C. Wow, isn't that great? Okay, President Trump, of course, being a part of that, first president in history. You could tell, right, that you know, whose side he's on. The impeachment news. How many people, by show of hands out there, yeah, how many people watch the impeachment hearings? I got to tell you, man, you know, I've sat through calculus and other classes that they were difficult in terms of trying to, you know, concentrate and stay awake. But this takes the cake. It's just incredible stuff. And, you know, we've seen this sham impeachment. And you know, we're still at this level where I had come out saying, look, they're not going to allow, the Senate's not going to allow the witness testimony of Biden. It just can't happen because of the fact that they're all, not all, many, in fact, I would say the majority of the senators are involved in some way, shape, or form with graft, with all sorts of, they've got their hands in the cookie jar as well. Maybe not exactly in the same, cookie jar, but similar cookie jars as the Bidens. And, you know, Maria Kanis, the author of Prepare for Persecution, which is available on Amazon. Folks, it's a great book. I wrote the foreword to the book, but it's great. And she's just a wonderful, wonderful lady. She wrote an email with the subject line, I hope I'm wrong. And I want to share this with you because this is about the impeachment. Now, everyone is coming out and saying, look, He's not going to be removed from office. President Trump's not going to be removed from office. And I really believe that to be the case, but not to the extent where I would. I'm not a betting man, by the way. I don't bet. I don't buy lottery tickets. I think casinos, I mean, to me, you walk into a casino, you bet. If you are going to bet, you do so for entertainment value, because you look around you. If you're standing in the casino, look around you. It's not their money that built it. It's your money. So, you know, you're the fool for betting. So if you're going to do that, it's for your own entertainment, not to win. But if I was a betting man, and I'm not, yeah, I'd probably say that, you know, chances are this is going to be quashed, legally quashed in the legal sense of that word now, or you know, done away with. But she writes this, and I have to agree with her on this. She says, I'm concerned about a couple of possibilities regarding the impeachment attempt against President Trump. And I really would like to get your take on this as well in the comments section at YouTube, or even by email at studio@HagmanReport.com. She writes this, first, people are assuming that it won't go anywhere in the Senate. But can we afford to assume anything? She asks, and she's right. Boy, I'd never assume anything. She asks questions, for example, like how many senators can be blackmailed? You don't think it happens? Of course it happens. How many senators will cave if their families are threatened? Now you might say, well, this is ridiculous to think that. You know, I used to think a lot of things were ridiculous. I don't know about you, but some of the headlines 20 years ago and, you know, right at the infancy of what we understand the internet is and was to be, some of the dire doom and gloom headlines, as somebody called it fear porn, you know, others called it fear for profit or whatever. But you look at those headlines today, are they not coming true? A lot of them? We're just having a discussion now. So, you know, and I've seen and I've talked to people who have had their families threatened. And it's not a threat like, you know, if you say this, I'm going to kill you kind of threat. No, it's a much more subtle threat than that. They threaten families. They threaten businesses. They threaten income. It's a much more refined threat. And we've experienced this. In where, do you like your, you know, it would be a shame if you lost, it'd be a shame if you lost your ability to, you know, have Patreon as funding, wouldn't it? It'd be a shame. Is that a threat? It depends, right? Or, you know, boy, it would be a shame if, something happened to your car. What, my 12-year-old car? While you were in it, driving it. You know, things like that. And even more refined and more, I don't know, a little bit less obvious. But it depends on who it's coming from and what the context of the conversation is. So the question is, can we assume that this is just going to go away? And she writes, you know, we need to stop assuming and get very serious about praying. And I believe that. I do believe that prayer can change things, obviously. And then she writes, second, if the impeachment attempt does fail in the Senate, what's going to happen next? What then will happen? Especially in view of how successful his rallies have been compared to those on the Democratic side. That's a good point. Look at the political field today. Look at the left. Look at the look at the stable of candidates. Look at that. Is there anyone there that could possibly beat President Trump? I don't think so. And then she writes, given that scenario, will the left, will they decide to pull something like what happened in 1963? And if that attempt is successful, then will they do something to Mike Pence? I mean, where will it stop? And if they can get rid of him on top of getting rid of President Trump, then, of course, Nancy Pelosi comes in. And, well, you get the idea, right? So she said, please, I ask you to ask your viewers and listeners to be serious about praying for the protection of President Trump and for Vice President Pence. And I agree with that. I agree. I don't think we can assume anything. And I think that that should be our starting point for discussion. By the way, how did you folks like Brandon House yesterday's program last night? I thought it was fabulous. He's going to be back on Wednesday, guest hosting on Wednesday. I've got another appointment very similar to last night, and so he's going to be guest hosting. And send him an email, thank him for, or leave a comment on YouTube and thank him for his stepping in and giving me a hand and giving Eric a hand and such. And he's marvelous, full of information. His research is just incredible. And speaking of the impeachment things, Mark Meadows was, I don't know how many people saw this, but Mark Meadows did come out and say that Adam Schiff's contact with Ukraine whistleblower is the only cover-up. This is featured on the cover of Liberty Daily, but you can get into that. I think that we've pretty well covered Ukraine, at least in past programs, the analysis of what's really going on here. You have the most obvious. You have Vice President Joe Biden under Obama really doing the quid pro quo, of course, hence the name quid pro Joe. And you see where that now has led us. President Trump simply calling that out and shining light on that particular topic has led to this. Well, there it is. All right. Speaking of the impeachment, one of the more important issues that I would really like to get across to people who listen and watch this show is the majority of Americans, the majority of people don't have time, they don't have the interest to watch the marathon impeachment hearings. I think we all agree on that. I have DVR'd all of the hearings, all of each day, the entire mess. And I've got to tell you, it's very difficult to get through when you've got Adam Schiff standing up there for 2.5 hours. And then at the end of his opening statement, quoting Thomas Paine, are you serious about this? When in fact it's Schiff, it's the House Democrat, Democrats and Democrat managers who are themselves, at least in my view, really responsible for, they are the perpetrators based on past events. And think about how Adam Schiff has handled the so-called whistleblower, how Adam Schiff has handled all of this. Now, of course, this is an outgrowth, at least in my view, this impeachment is an outgrowth of the failure of the coup attempt by Comey, Clapper, Brennan, the deep state, when President Trump was a candidate, a private citizen and a candidate. Failing that, of course, failing Spygate, or the spying on President Trump as a private citizen and then the candidate, and then extending that into his time as president. And of course, 9 minutes after or minutes after his inaugural address, the press, that was the first mention. 9 minutes is all it took for the word impeachment to come out. That was their intent all along. And of course, because the Mueller investigation went nowhere, and it's funny, I'm just going to come right out and say it. It's funny, the lawsuit I'm fighting mentions the Mueller report. Me, the Mueller report, me as a Russian operative, me as a Russian agent, a propagator of Russian disinformation. Yeah, sue me again. I don't care. You know, I'm just sick and tired of this. Seriously, I'm So that fell flat. That didn't work. So then, of course, as an outgrowth, they had to pick this Ukraine phone call, this phone call with Zelensky, where clearly there was no quid pro quo withholding military aid. But yet they cherry pick the segments from the testimony of the members, like Ivanovich and the other guy, all of the witnesses at the House. They cherry pick various phrases, words, little video segments, and they put it up on the screen. So then what happens from there is the media selects, cherry picks from the Senate testimony or the testimony in front of the Senate. And a little bit of useless knowledge if you so would so like it. The senators there, in case you didn't know this, they're not allowed to drink anything except water or milk. Did you know that? Eric the tech, did you know that?
No.
All right. This you can file this in your vast array of useless knowledge. Based on a 1965 or 66 ruling, only water was to be served during the impeachment hearings. Now that includes sparkling water or just, you know, regular water. But something happened in 1966 when Dirksen said, "Hey, is there anything in the protocols and the procedures that would disallow me getting a glass of milk?" Well, they said, "No, don't see anything here." So they put that in.
Who wants to drink milk there anyway?
Really, I don't know. You know, so now it's protocol and customary where you can either drink water, you know, regular water or sparkling, or you can call for a glass of milk.
Ah. No Coca-Cola?
No soft drinks, no nothing.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's, again, useless knowledge, but it's, you know, we're built on tradition, right? And that's part of the tradition. And you can't eat anything, but there is a desk. There's a candy desk. This goes back to 65 now, 1965, where one of the senators had a stash of candy. That's fun. It's fun. It's trivia.
I'll get one of those cowtails.
Yeah. No, they're just sucking candies. How appropriate, right? Anyway, so there's that tradition was kept for the last 55 years where one of the senators, it's toward the back. I saw a map, you know, of the seating. I don't know who's in charge of it now, but there's a desk with a little box and there's hard candy there in the box. So of course that still exists. So you can suck it, but no electronics, no Apple watches, none of that. And, the other thing too, because of the rules and this is all the media has complained about this. And I agree with this. Don't you get tired of looking at the same camera angle, same obnoxious backdrop? That is if you watch the entire, you know, hearings until you're...
Before you continue.
Yeah?
If you're lactose intolerant, can you bring almond milk? Or do they offer that?
We'll have to check the rules of the Senate. I don't know. That's a good question.
Can I bring my own cow?
Elsie. Oh man, you know, yeah. I don't know, but you know,
is there nap time?
Well, yes. I'm glad you asked that. There is nap time. The camera is the Senate camera. So, by the way, that feed, we could show that feed. We would just put everyone to sleep. We all pay for that. So that's fair game.
What they really need is a box of Binkies.
I'm telling you. A couple, yeah. Give a couple to Schiff and a couple to Nadler.
All right, I'm done.
No, you know what? Stay on, man. It's people love to hear you. People are saying, "Oh, get a camera on Eric." And Eric's saying, "Don't you dare, man." So it's Eric's fault. You can email him, eric@hagmanreport.com, and tell him that he needs to have a camera on him. I've told him. but he doesn't want that. But you know what, Eric? I'm glad you mentioned Binkies, because it just seems like there's a lot of whining, and it seems like there's a lot of, you know, with the house managers and how they have constructed this narrative is only topped by the media's handling of this. And I know people say, well, this is all just theater and get over it and get on with, you know, why don't you just stop rambling and talk about something that's really important? But this is historical. This is important. And I think what's even more important, though, is the media's handling of this. Now, I don't know, Eric, I sent you the tape of Stephanopoulos. Did I send you that? The video of that?
Snuffleupagus,
yeah. Which fits. If you have that, here is a piece of video.
Can you give me like a second?
Oh,
my
yeah.
Shot's all messed up.
That's no worries. But the story of how the media, in my view now, how the media is presenting this to the American people. And many will say, well, Doug, you know, why are you even talking about this? Because most people have dismissed the mainstream media as irrelevant. We know they lie. No, that's, again, there is this thought that the mainstream media is dead. Yeah, it's dead, but people still tune in to CNN or MSNBC or Fox or, name the program, the broadcast, the network. They still watch this, and they're still assaulted, and that's a deliberate term.
I've got it.
Okay, so is there, before you play that, the question is, do they want the truth to get out? Of course they don't. And at every turn, when we point this out, that all of this is a fixed narrative for a certain end, you know, no, you don't have any evidence of that. That's BS or whatever the case might be. Here, whatever you said, got caught attempting to, I know. Look, folks, I am so tired. I got to tell you, I am absolutely exhausted. So I will be less coherent. How's that as a promise?
You need your milk and Binky.
I do, in a blanket, Binky, blanket, milk, and I'll just crawl up in a fetal position. But it's just been a horrendous couple of days, and for many reasons, productive but bumpy roads. Anyway, the mainstream media got caught, because when the truth about the Donald Trump defense started to come out, Snuffleupagus decided to control and say he didn't want, you know, cut this guy off. And actually got caught on camera making this motion, across the neck motion. And I thought this was pretty good. So it's like 26 seconds. So if we can play that now, that'd be kind of neat to watch.
The actions of Lex and the actions of the president do not reach that level, no matter which school of thought you're on. And we're not afraid to put out both of those schools of thought, because our position is you still have to meet basic fundamental constitutional obligations, and they have it. Next.
What would it say if you were like, what do you think you have to convince the president? How much more work do you think you have ahead to try and convince that room?
And that is Jay Sekulow right there, and let's bring in our...
Whoops. Whoops. He got caught. Jay Sekulow, who I've got a lot of respect for, Jay Sekulow, he's doing a great job, I think, as a attorney for the president, and I think he's doing a fabulous job, and he's doing really great work through his organization. But you talk about a blatant, and at least in my view, that was not a production, that was not done for production purposes. And thank you, Eric. What a great guy. What a talented guy, Eric. There it is on your screen right behind me. Yeah. That is, you know, cut him off. We can't have this truth. A couple minutes before the break here, at the bottom of the hour. Just so much to get into. So much deception out there, folks. You know, in the real world, you step away from the internet, and I just want to, I want to close out this segment of this program with this. I knew, and I have known, of course, there was deception out there. There was dupes, unwitting dupes falling for, you know, deception. And I knew that there were deceivers out there on the internet. And we all know that, right? But to see the level of deception right now, even coming disguised as conservatives, disguised as Christian conservatives, disguised as people who want to save children, disguised as, I mean, you name it. The deception is so rampant. While we might take the mainstream legacy media, the corporate mass media to the woodshed, you know, we oftentimes propagate people and channels and those who actually are engaged in that activity themselves. And it's frustrating because, for example, when we speak, and this is just one example, when we speak about organizations that help children and help, you know, child victims of trafficking and help human trafficking to fight that, when there are legitimate organizations out there and you've got ones that are fictitious, made up, that, you know, it does not, I mean, it hurts the cause. It hurts the legitimate ones. And I don't want to drive this point home any more than that, because I know you get the idea, but, I watched a video earlier today from someone I was acquainted with propagating a false narrative about, an individual who's in jail right now for threatening the life of violating a restraining order that involves the life of a Florida attorney. And they're attempting to paint this individual as a hero. Well, that looks good on the surface, but once you there are ostensible reasons that look good on the surface, but once you start peeling back the layers and start really digging into what's going on, Oh no. There are some bad things going on. I mean, the individual, at least in my view, in my opinion, well-researched opinion, he is where he needs to be and not to be celebrated. That's my view. But see, they build campaigns around people like that. And that doesn't do any of us any good, those people who are actually fighting for the truth. Doug Hagman, HagmanReport.com. Going to be right back. HagmanReportLive.com and HagmanReport.com. Going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Thank you for holding over with me during the break, network break. I have a lot of great things planned, of course, for 2020. And I want to thank those who support us. I want to thank those who write to us by way of snail mail and support us in that fashion. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. For those people who are support us by way of Patreon, thank you. For those people who support us by PayPal and other means, thank you. You know, it's humbling. It really is, because I split my time up in a couple of several different ways, as does Eric. and really all of us here at the Hagmann Report, just so you know, okay, I don't just sit here and spout off and regurgitate headlines. Of course, we bring people on who are making that news, making the headlines, involved in activities, Coach Dave, involved in offensive posture, against the tyrannical government, people like Brandon House who deep dives into the various, operational aspects of the goings on, the activities in DC and elsewhere and various other groups and organizations. So we do that. Then we are engaged in active investigation and research and this is what I believe distinguishes this platform from others. Look, we are licensed investigators. I mean, does that mean anything? Yeah, it does. Eric, myself, I mean, the Hagmann Investigative Services. So we have access to information, and we also have the knowledge of how to get information. So, yeah, that makes a difference. So thank you to those who support us. Thank you so much. Without you, we couldn't do it. And I think that also using that license in its most literal fashion, we are able to deliver information that maybe you wouldn't otherwise get, both on a regional level as well as a national level. And through our contacts we've developed in that capacity on the national level, very, very much so. All right. So thank you very much for supporting this broadcast and this platform. Many good things planned for you. And to the members of Patreon and such, and to the people who've asked, still working on getting Matt Shea on and others that you mentioned. Please hang with me. All right. The one thing I want to mention as well, I know Steve and I have been talking about this. Steve's been talking about this. And I've seen, of course, InfoWars has been talking about the coronavirus. We've mentioned it earlier this week. You know, the question I've got is this going to be, I mean, is this what it appears to be, or is it something else? And I know John Rappaport, for example, has one thought process, one idea about it. For example, from John Rappaport, man who pushed SARS, dud, now pushing new Chinese virus. Is this hype, or is this a very, very dangerous situation? Well, from John Rappaport's investigations, he writes, the first of few updates, things are moving fast. The Chinese government has locked down Wuhan, a city of 11 million people, owing to the threat of the coronavirus. Okay. All right. Is this a legitimate thing to do? I don't know. I'm asking questions. You and I are trying. Let's get to the bottom of this together. Okay. That's kind of my approach to this. Well, he says this. He writes this. There are also travel restrictions in several other Chinese cities. What does this all prove? And he says, answer, nothing. All right. It proves the Chinese government wants to install tighter controls. It doesn't lead to the conclusion that a coronavirus is making people sick or killing them. Now, others will say, oh, no, there's evidence or suggestive evidence, documentation, of millions infected and numerous deaths. Well, John Rappaport writes that during the so-called Zika virus crisis of 2015, remember that? Women in several countries were told not to get pregnant because the virus might cause brain damage in their babies. Oh, now it's starting to ring a bell, right? Oh, I guarantee it. Listen to this, because it's going to kind of come full circle in a way. Think about this. That was kind of a form of a lockdown, he writes. And remember, they were going to abortion boats. Remember that? The virus might cause brain damage in the bodies. So that was a form of a lockdown too. John Rappaport writes, if it were instituted for good reason, we would not be seeing massive numbers of babies all over the world born with smaller heads, brain damage as the virus spreads. Of course, we're not seeing that. We didn't see that. We're not seeing that now. And that was the Zika virus. And of course, he covered that extensively, citing from his report, and he writes it was a scientific fraud. Now, that's, again, this is from John Rappaport. Okay, so I'm looking at this as kind of a witness or a somebody would come into it like a courtroom and testify. This is, you know, my finding. Okay, fine. That's how I'm looking at this, as I'm looking at all of these other ones as well. So he writes that the measures government authorities enact don't constitute proof of a harmful virus, which is true. Think about this. The measures enacted, they don't necessarily constitute proof of a harmful virus. And if you think about it, otherwise, and he writes this, presidents and kings could write science all day long simply by issuing orders. So he writes that we're now seeing photos of people lying in the street in Wuhan and perhaps other Chinese cities, so-called victims of the coronavirus. What does this prove? And he writes, answer, nothing. So far, I've seen pictures of four or five people lying in the street. And you see, and folks, if you saw Drudge, I think it was Drudge today, or was InfoWars as well. I think it might have been InfoWars. You saw somebody being let out of a brought out of a location in like a box, almost a covered. You think Bubble Boy kind of thing. Well, all right. He writes, in a city of 11 million people, if this all by itself were proof that a new coronavirus is a killer, then, for example, Los Angeles and New York, with their homeless street populations, well, they'd have no people left. The text of a patent for a coronavirus is circulating wide and far on the web. So he writes, what does this prove? Answer, nothing. So, of course, I did find the patent for the coronavirus. I absolutely did. And with it, an article, this by Colleen McBreen, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and others predicted up to 65 million deaths via coronavirus in a simulation ran 3 months ago. Again, another bit of evidence. Now, if you're looking, if you're asking, or if you're sitting there listening and watching and saying, what do you say? What's your conclusion? I don't have a conclusion yet. We're just talking back and forth. I'm talking, you're listening, and you and I are kind of working through this together. That's kind of, I'm asking you to kind of look at all of the angles here and decide for yourself. I don't know what the answers are. Some people will strongly say, look, this is definitely it looks like the deep state, really, this is the weapon. And others will say, oh, not so fast. Maybe the consequence or the actions to the threat of this, that might be the weapon, in terms of how the population control will be. Anyway, so I question everything at this point, and I would ask you to kind of look at this in the same fashion. Now, you might feel strongly one way or another that this is a killer. But, you know, what John Rapoport said, remember Zika, remember this, remember that, remember the Zika virus, remember SARS. Well, okay, now we know that the Gates Foundation and others predicted up to 65 million deaths via the coronavirus in simulation ran 3 months ago. So what does that mean? There's a patent on this. What does that mean? And by the way, the Gates Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates, also just happened to fund the group who owns the patent. So they helped to fund the group who owns the patent for the deadly virus and are working on a vaccine to solve the crisis. Problem, solution, profit. Is it all about money? Pretty interesting. Who patents a virus? I guess that's a thing. I don't know. I'm not a biologist, virologist, or whatever. I don't really know. Microbiologist. I don't know why one would patent a virus. I can understand maybe having a patent for a vaccine, but virus? Okay. Well, anyway, going on about the patent, it was on June 19th, 2015, the UK government-funded Perbright Institute, they filed an application for a patent for the live coronavirus. Now, that was subsequently approved on November 20th of 2018. From this article, suspiciously, a Perbright Institute primary funder is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And, you know, it seems funny to me when you start looking at Bill and Melinda Gates, and this, I'm just opining here. Population control, always on their agenda. Population control via the murdering of unborn. I mean, look at the people, you know, in positions of the so-called elite, the people with money, the Gates, the billionaires and the gazillionaires, you know. It's just, anyway. And there's a copy of the, right here is a copy of the patent. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation donated $189,233 to the Perbright Institute in a 2013 grant, looking to improve our understanding of and effective use of current control tools and measures, including vaccines against various diseases. So I won't get into all of them, in developing countries. Now, okay, first of all, $189,000, that's not a lot of money. Relatively speaking, I mean, to me, it's a ton of money, and to you, I'm sure it's a ton of money. Who could we have some? Could we have some fun, huh? Or at least some breathing room, right? Wouldn't have to work two jobs and 20 hours a day. Eric's saying, "Oh, give me the money." $189,000 would be nice, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah.
Anyway, so I guess at the end of the day, the question is this about this virus. What is the truth? And I've talked to Steve about this. And I know how he feels. I mean, he feels that this is a real deal and there's some real issues. And okay, and you go to stevequayle.com and you can see the various citations he has or the various documentation he has, each one seemingly stronger than the next, that this is a real problem. And as a matter of fact, I've got a family member that next month is planning to travel, not overseas, but domestically. And I said, boy, you know, until we really know more, I'd really like you not to travel where you're going, which is, you know, to a warmer climate for a specific reason. Okay. The reason I bring all of this up is, when you look at this bigger picture here, I find, and I'm asking you if you don't find this as well, do you find yourself questioning the timing of things? Do you find yourself questioning the, coincidental nature of things? You know, I always had a saying, as an investigator, really, there are no coincidences. I don't believe in coincidences. I mean, there's certain things at low level. I mean, you bump into someone at the store. Okay, fine. Yeah, that's a coincidence. You know, we're there at the same time. But in terms of the larger operational things that are taking place, do you really believe in coincidences? Oh, it just so happened that the Gates Foundation and others predicted that 65 million deaths some 3 months ago in the simulation that took place 3 months before the virus came out. That's not a coincidence. That's a behavior that's at least questionable, leading somewhere. Okay. So the, this is problematic. And I find even more problematic are the predictions of global deaths by 2030. Think Georgia Guidestones, for example. I mean, just as one example. Think Agenda 2030. Think of all of the globalist population, anti-population, or those agendas. Think about all of that. Getting back to the article by McBreen, the Perbright Institute hired a coronavirus expert to work with Livestock Antibody Hub. Bill and Melinda Gates Behind Global Pandemic exercise focusing on coronavirus Event 201 promotes globalism as a solution to to pandemic. I saw a tweet earlier today by Sharon Gilbert. You know Derek and Sharon Gilbert, right? Wonderful people. Citing a Stephen King plot. Aftermath. You know, it's interesting. In fact, I'm not sure if I've got that tweet handy. It was earlier today. I'm not sure. It was probably around 10 o'clock or so, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, something like that. Eric the Tech, that Hagman Report tweeted out, retweeted Sharon Gilbert's tweet. Can we bring that up? All right. Thanks. He's the man. He's the guy. I'm telling you, I couldn't do this without Eric the Tech. He's the guy. But I find it very interesting. So you've got John Rappaport talking about his experiences and his bringing forth some very good points. Think Zika virus. Think SARS to the extent that we saw what was going on. And before we bring that up, because again, this is somewhat of an alternative contrarian view. He writes this. Here's a capper. At the end of his article, this is John Rappaport now. The World Health Organization claims that every year there are between 3 and 5 million cases of ordinary run-of-the-mill flu in the world. And that results in 290,000 to 650,000 deaths. The symptoms, well, you cannot distinguish them between, for example, SARS. But for some reason, they don't declare ordinary flu an ongoing epidemic. No, they choose SARS, for which the cause is absent, and they call that an epidemic. It caused 800 deaths versus that 290,000 to 650,000 number I just gave you. So he asked, does that make any kind of sense? And frankly, in that context, no. So actually, it does, he writes, if they want to, for example, increase control over the population, condition them to expect and pray for toxic vaccines to save them. Isn't that what we've been talking about? It makes sense to me here. He's making a good cogent argument here. Shoot up pharmaceutical profits, scare the pants off people, induce them to willingly accept greater surveillance wherever they go. Think the Patriot Act. Think the threat of terrorism and such. Step up police and military presence. Enact quarantines. Hypnotize populations with the idea that they're lifelong patients under supervision with the medical cartel. Indeed. And teach safety and security above freedom. In his closing paragraph in this, and I'll just end it here, with respect to John Rappaport, again, he makes some good points. Just realize how right and good and true the authorities are. Get down on your knees and thank your lucky stars. They're here protecting the health of everyone on the planet. And tongue-in-cheek, of course, he writes, they're the Church of Biological Mysticism. And they want you as a devoted member. But, you know, is this all about control? Is this all about something that maybe it's not the coronavirus. Maybe it's the actions consequential to the belief that the coronavirus is an issue. The shutting down of the city. So I would urge everyone just to look at all angles of this, to evaluate on your own. Because, folks, you've got brilliant. I mean, I really think you guys are brilliant, you know. I mean, most of you. Because judging by the emails I get, hard copy mail I get, and I'm not just falsely complimenting you. I've read some of the most intelligently written things ever. From people I've gotten from listeners. And I applaud you for really being on top of things. So evaluate for yourself. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you what I know. to the extent that I can validate that information. And of course, using open source material, like these various reports, give this to you, you can evaluate for yourself. But Sharon Gilbert, I retweeted this earlier today, looks like Captain Trips is now trending. Didn't take long. Coronavirus. I didn't comment on this, but that's in reference to a Stephen King novel. Now, if you can, Eric the Tech, I don't know if you're able to click on in real time Captain Trips. I don't know if you can do that. All right, he's going to take it. But that goes to an interesting kind of paragraph from Stephen King, or relating to Stephen King, his novel, Aftermath. And if not, no worries. Don't worry about it. But it lists dates and stuff, you know, the reduction of the population. Don't worry about it. I'll just explain it. It lists dates, a population reduction by a whole bunch, you know, leaving just a few, measly, handful of people, kind of like the Stand, you know, on Earth or on the planet, by July 4th of 2020, for example. Are we seeing something pre-programmed? So that's that. But, you know, question the timing. The lockdown, the pharmaceuticals kind of thing. Thank God for vaccines, the security. You get the idea there. So look at the timing there, and look at the timing with, the impeachment of President Trump. The no-brainer here is President Trump's impeachment. I mean, to me, this is the no-brainer. The fact that they have not been able to take down our president, despite some pretty doggone aggressive attempts that I'm not sure. I mean, to me, very few people could actually survive. I know I am on the receiving end of things that, President Trump would probably laugh at. Oh, don't worry. Yeah, that's nothing, right? Oh, that happened to be five times last week, you know, yeah. Yeah, I get this threat, or I get this, you know, I get this lawsuit, or that's nothing. Huh. I'll take care of that before breakfast. But you know, it's relative, isn't it? In your life, in my life, when we have things that affect us or things that hit us, it's all relative, because it's based on what we're going through at the time. It's based on our family situation. It's based on a number of things, right? I'm just saying, because we are the normal people. Does that make sense? We're the average, and I don't like that word, but we're just average guys and ladies and families. Most of us. Now, there are some psychos on the internet. Let me tell you. Whew. Oh, wait, I can't say that. Last time I said that, last time I said that, it cost me a lot of money. So, Eric texting, I'll bleep that out. Right. You got my back, buddy?
Sure.
Yeah, as he laughs. But you know, no, we are among the people who have jobs, right? We have jobs, we have families, we have responsibilities. We don't have time to sit in front of the TV and watch 20 hours worth of impeachment nonsense. We've got to pay our bills. We're not waiting for the postmaster of the world to bail someone out of prison by sending papers so they can sign them and lick the papers. Okay. Huh? Okay. Now, we're the average, normal, working-class person. So the reason I guess where I was going with that is where was I going with that? Except to say, you know, look, we've got concerns like everyone else. What about the coronavirus? I want to know the truth. Is it safe to travel? Is it safe to go to big cities? Is it safe to, you know, my husband's got to go to a business meeting in New York City, for example. Should I really, I mean, how much concern should I have as he's exposed to people from Chinatown coming in from China, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Real life worries. Real life concerns. The impeachment, of course, what they've done to President Trump, and I started off with that. in this thought process here. You know, I'm sure he goes through a lot of things that maybe you and I would where he would brush off as there's nothing you and I would hurt you and I. Of course, he's at a different level, and he's got staff and attorneys and you know, he's got a bunch of people. It's just you and me, and you know, maybe you might have a babysitter, maybe you got somebody a handyman, but aside from that, you know, very few of us have attorneys on retainer, and very few of us have you know, a staff of however many, or you get the idea. So it affects us differently. But in closing, I just want to wrap this up real quick. What they've been trying to do with President Trump through the impeachment, what we're seeing right now, is that they are actually covering for something that has happened with Joe Biden. And Glenn Beck had done and I'll leave it at this. Glenn Beck had done an excellent expose about Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, who went to work for Burisma, earning over $50,000 a month with reports of other financial benefits. They're trying to cover that up. They're trying to cover up, Burisma being under investigation, of course, with the Ukrainian prosecutor general, Viktor Shokin. They're trying to cover up what, Joe Biden did with that. All by turning the impeachment upon the skewed, remember, Stephanopoulos, the skewed narrative. And again, I'm not sure I really like that word, that Donald Trump committed impeachable offenses, including abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Folks, the pressure being applied right now to take out President Donald Trump, to take down the American people, to create fear, to create panic, to stop us from being able to defend ourselves through Second Amendment legislation, to whatever the topic might be, to save the lives of the unborn. Although, great job, President Trump, in the March for Life rally. All of this, to me, it's all related. It's all part of the agenda. So taking a step back, I said all of that to end with this for this hour. Everything to me, everything that we're seeing today, the timing is not coincidental. It's not serendipitous. It's all part of a larger plan. Is it a perfect plan by the globalists, by the deep state members? No, it's not. It's a cumbersome, clunky plan, but it's a plan nonetheless, I believe. That includes, you know, affecting and assaulting all of us, like I said, normal average people, and diverting our attention while wearing us down, just absolutely wearing us down. Taking away our freedoms little by little, restricting our travel, I'm sure, through this threat of the virus, real or amplified, it's there. Taking away our selection or vote for the 2016 election as President Donald Trump. And of course, skewing our ability to perhaps vote for him in 2020. Don't think it's not possible. As Maria said, let's not assume anything. So all of this, they're throwing everything out here. And I think you and I think we have to really look at everything that's taking place with a certain amount of seriousness and sobriety and analysis like we've never employed before. This is my opinion. Analysis of current events. Are we being duped? Of course we are in many areas. Are some perpetuating this being duped wittingly, unwittingly? You know, we have to, and that goes back to watching who you listen to and who you follow. And it goes to me too. I have to be careful. You know, boy, you got to really check out who you listen to and who you follow. So in the end, that's where we're at. I don't know if that makes sense to you. It's just a conversation that I want to have with you. Just a normal average person to another. One normal average person to another who happens to like coffee, who happens to like, I need the bean. My last pitch to this program for our coffee, folks, if you haven't tried it, please do so. And if you tried it, let me know how you liked it, if you liked it. The detective's choice is the hyper-caffeinated one. Now, in all of our coffee, you've got three choices. You've got the ground, you've got the whole bean, and you got the K-cups. So we try to cover the entire spectrum. And then you got the brands, the blends, the detective's choice, which is two beans, which are, I believe, are just absolutely, well, I'm sorry, the bean blend to me makes this really rich, dark, chocolatey, almost cherry blossom kind of taste and aroma. It's really great. Detective's choice. And it's got the extra kick of caffeine. And then you've got the Revolution blend. Because why? You say you want a revolution? Well, this is, our coffee is going to fuel the next American revolution in which we're in right now. And then the Patriot blend, made by a patriot for patriots. There you go. And you know, it's got my seal of approval on it. And lastly, I'll just say this. I actually did approve the bean sourcing, the beans. I mean, I know more about coffee beans than I should. However, I had to approve to put my signature, and there's my signature right there, on the bag. And, I went through a lot of taste tests and such, but found the best, in my view, the best coffees blends. Again, the detective's choice is a dark, very dark roast. And then, stepping down from that, to a lighter dark roast or to a medium, roast. In terms of the darkness. So they're all great coffee. HagmanStore.com. I could talk all day about that. But, and then of course our coffee mugs. And remember, the proceeds go to help, fight against child and sex trafficking, two legitimate organizations. Just want to make sure you know that. All right. Thank you again for everyone who supports us. And thank you for being a part of our, network. And you know, I'm going to be doing everything I can, folks, and I promise you this, everything I can to bring you the truth from a Christian biblical worldview. I don't know how else to describe it. Through diligent research investigation, using our qualifications and our assets and our databases, that's what we're all about. Now, having said that, I am absolutely so glad to have with me for this hour, Austin Brower. Now, folks, if you haven't done this, you've got to make sure you go to healthmasters.com. And first, look on the right. You're going to see a link to the Ted and Austin Brower show right there. If you're watching this on your screen, bookmark that. Listen to them an hour a day, father, son. Oh my goodness. They offer some of the most pertinent, important information every single day. While that's playing, and while after you've bookmarked and made sure that you've got that accessible to you, whether it's on your phone, your iPad, or your computer, while you're going and listening to that, shop at healthmasters.com. Of all of the nutritional supplements out there, Health Masters has the best, bar none. Do I need to sell you on this? I don't think I do. Health Masters, the standards of quality are so high, it's incredible. By the way, a favorite product of my wife's, it happens to be the product of the week, which is Magnesium Body Balm. Oh, do you have joint issues, arthritis perhaps, Magnesium Body Balm. Try it. It's the product. Look, the regular price is $39.95. The sale price right now is $35.89. I'm going to tell you this stuff works. If my wife tells me it works, it works. Magnesium. But look, if you're not taking, or if you are taking a nutritional supplement from, oh, I don't know, you might think it's the best on the market, but it's not Health Masters. I want you to do me a favor. Just this once. If you're taking another product as a daily, you know, multiple vitamin, order from Health Masters and try theirs for 30 days. That's if you're not a customer. Try them for 30 days. And better yet, use my coupon code HR5 for 5% off your purchase. And then at the end of 30 days, now you gotta be smart. You gotta take it every day. Don't skimp and take it every day. And at the end of the 30 days, and even keep a little journal and tell me how you feel at the end of 30 days. And I guarantee you, you will notice a difference, even if you're taking what you think is the best supplement. And you switch to Health Masters. You're going to say, wow. You know what? I do notice a difference. And it won't take you 30 days either. Healthmasters.com. So two things there. The radio show every single day. Ted and Austin Brower show. Live 5 days a week. Monday through Friday. Great father-son team. Talk about everything from health to world events. And then, as you're listening, then order the supplements. HR5 is the special coupon code they worked out with us. 5% off. Non-sale items. And I guarantee you, folks, if you do that, I guarantee you, you're going to become a lifelong supporter or lifelong customer of healthmasters.com. I guarantee you. I promise you on that. So, and you know, for what's coming, we were talking about the coronavirus. I'm going to get Austin's view on that. For what's coming in terms of whether it's food shortages, whether it's weather issues, regardless of what it is, you and I, we owe it to ourselves to be in our families, to be healthy, to be upright. This will help you do that. Austin, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing blessed, brother. How are you doing?
Good. I want to thank you for waiting. And people might say, well, you're overselling this. You know what? No, if anything, I'm overselling the fact that we need our physical health, don't we? I mean, more than ever. Now we do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so much stuff that's constantly going on, whether it be just the constant exposure to all these outside environmental toxins. Now what we're seeing with this whole coronavirus in China, I've been doing a lot of research on it this week.
Tell me about this. I need to know about this.
Yeah, I mean, well, first off, I mean, you know, we already know now that we've got reports in the U.S., Scotland, Saudi Arabia, Thailand, Singapore, Vietnam, Taiwan, Japan, Korea, and, of course, China are all reporting now that they're having patients that are coming in and testing positive for this coronavirus. Scoot a little way that way. And now I saw earlier today that we now have the second patient in the United States that has been identified with this virus, and he's being evaluated, or she is. It's a woman in her 60s, is in Chicago. The first one that was reported a couple days ago was from Washington State. So now we're having reports further east into the United States. But the thing that's very strange about this now is it's either one of these things. At first, I was like, okay, maybe they're overhyping this intentionally to try to push something, or maybe there really is a serious problem with this virus, because it's essentially kind of a spinoff of a SARS virus, so to speak. And what's ironic about this, it's not almost ironic, it's quite ominous, I guess I should say, is that we're finding out now that China installed its first level 4 quarantine facility, biolab, in Wuhan, China in 2017 and opened it in January of 2018. And they also, that basically high risk quarantine laboratory was looking at basically researching Ebola, SARS, and of course coronavirus. Very, very strange. And also it's ironic as well. Biosafety experts and scientists expressed concerns that the virus could possibly escape the lab. That was a year and a half ago. We already saw that the SARS virus was leaked from a lab in Beijing in 2004. And now what's really strange about this as well, now we're finding this Wuhan biosafety laboratory that allegedly was working on these viruses, that they said they didn't leak it, nothing happened, nothing, you know, there wasn't any protocol that was not followed. It happens to be only 20 miles away from the seafood market where they have claimed now is the outbreak of the epicenter, but it's completely coincidental. They said at this point, there's no reason to harbor any suspicions that the facility had anything to do with the outbreak. Now, again, I'm not in China. I don't know. But I do find this very strange that, I mean, they set up this laboratory 2 years ago. They've been working on these viruses. Now, all of a sudden, this virus just comes out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, people are getting them. They've had thousands of people now that have been diagnosed with this in China, from what I'm hearing. There's even videos on Instagram that have been popping up all night that they've been trying to take down, but they keep resurfacing, of individuals walking around and just straight up collapsing on the ground, bleeding from their ears and nose. Were those staged? I don't know. Again, I'm not in China. I'm just reporting off the facts of what I've seen and what, you know, is coming up on a lot of the alternative and some of the mainstream media outlets. Now, this is the part that kind of troubles me off a little bit, is that the coronavirus had a patent applied for it in 2015 by the Perbright Institute out of the UK. That patent was granted in 2018. Now, the strange thing about the Perbright Institute is that if you do research on it, you will find that the World Health Organization and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation are two of its biggest contributors.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I touched on that in the first hour.
Good.
And continue with that, because I really just, that was at the surface level. So go ahead and continue with that.
Well, right. So what's strange about this whole thing is the Perbright Institute is getting support federally, basically from the government in the UK. They're getting a massive amount of support and funding from the World Health Organization, the WHO, and Bill and Melinda Gates. Now, is it just kind of coincidental that, you know, the end of 2018, the patent was pushed out November 20th, 2018, it was approved, patent number 10130701, and the name of it, basically under the statement of it, was the present invention providing a live coronavirus compromising a variant replicase gene encoding polyprotein compromising a mutation in one or more of non-structural proteins. And then it goes on to say the coronavirus may be, yeah, the virus may be used as a vaccine for treating and preventing a disease such as infectious bronchitis and other subjects. That's kind of technical with that, but what they're basically saying is here, they gave the Perbright Institute the green light to start playing around with this virus and that they could essentially have the patent to it. Now, whether or not this Wuhan virus in China and the Perbright Institute are directly connected, I'm still trying to research that to figure out how this was going on. But something that really kind of came to my attention today, as I saw it on another alternative media site and I verified, and this is what was kind of troubling. October 18th of 2019, last year, in New York City, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the John Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and the World Economic Forum co-hosted an event in New York City where policymakers, business leaders, and health officials worked together on a simulated outbreaks in the world. It was titled Event 201 Pandemic. It was a high-level pandemic exercise, and I quote, was dropping participants right in the midst of an uncontrolled coronavirus outbreak that was spreading like wildfire out of South America, wreaking worldwide havoc. In the simulation, the coronavirus resulted in a death toll of 65 million people within 8 months, and that is a quote from John Hopkins University that was directly funding and researching this simulation with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in New York on October 18th, 2019. Now, that right there in and of itself is quite ominous, especially the fact that we know this whole thing with the coronavirus started spooling up in December. They did the simulation a month and a half before this thing got released.
Yeah.
The patent got given a year and a half ago. I mean, again, like I said, I'm not saying anybody released this. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, this is really suspect. And then Tom Igsby of the John Hopkins Center for Health Security promoted globalism as a solution by saying, and I quote, there are problems emerging that can only be solved by global business and global governments working together. Now, we don't even have global governments yet, and he's already stating this is what we need to do to handle this pandemic. So that's where I'm at on this, Doug. This whole thing's starting to escalate. Like I said, 10 countries are seeing exposure. It's really important. I've encouraged a lot of people, especially locally in our show right now. Make sure you're keeping your immune system strong. Make sure you get adequate sleep. Stay away from sugar as best you can. Sugar lowers white blood cell counts. And make sure you're increasing the vitamin C at minimum in your supplement routine. We put the vitamin C on sale on the front page just because of this. I didn't have a sale going on with it, but I put it on the front page and put it on sale just so people have access to it. And I put your kit that we put together for you, the Hagmann Immune Survival Kit, on the front page and did it another 10% off on the total kit. If anybody is just, you know, and if you have supplements and you're already using them or you got somewhere else, whatever, you got them, use them. But if you don't and you're working on trying to get your immune system strong, really look into this, because this whole coronavirus is essentially a spinoff of the norovirus, or a rhinovirus style. It's basically a common cold virus that they've mutated, strangely enough. So this isn't some type of horrible, horrible virus that your body can't handle. It's appearing, at least on what I'm seeing, it's appearing to be more aggressive with people that have a lower immune system. Now, could it get worse? Obviously, yes. But I'm just telling you what I'm looking at right now. And vitamin C and D3, at the very least, are two really, really crucial nutrients to keep in your cabinet. Like I said, if you have them from somewhere else, at least make sure they're high quality. I mean, I'm not trying to push product right now on anybody. I'm really not. You know I don't do that. But I just want to make sure everybody understands that if this starts to escalate like it's looking like it's going to escalate, and we already have, you know, Bill and Melinda Gates and John Hopkins University doing a epidemic outbreak study, you know, 2 months ago, and they're saying that essentially a coronavirus was going to kill 65 million people in this research outbreak study that they did in this exercise. That right there in and of itself really, really troubles me, Doug, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, it's troubling. And in fact, you and I were citing from the same source and same article. Now, alternatively, John Rappaport had recently come out with an article of his own, and you tell me. I mean, he says this man who pushed SARS, the SARS dud, and you remember that,
right?
Remember the Zika virus, yep. You know, the small heads on kids. So he said the man who pushed SARS dud now pushing new Chinese virus. Okay, so I'm thinking, all right. You know, what's the truth? Because on one hand, it could very well be like a really, boy, this could be a, you know, bad problem. And, you know, even Sharon Gilbert, who I'm acquainted with, a friend of mine, actually showed how that Stephen King meme aftermath is kind of forming as a narrative on, or meme on Twitter. So, but anyway, Rappaport said that, you know, look back at SARS, look back at the Zika virus crisis of 2015, and, you know, what happened with those? Well, more travel restrictions, more,
yep.
You know, it was the, not the weaponization. Well, I would say weaponization of the, information about the sickness, about whatever it was, SARS, Zika, now, coronavirus. It was how that was handled that really became the problem. Kind of like, you know, you have got a virus, you got, hey, this, by the way, the same people who patented the virus, patented the vaccine for,
correct.
You know,
yep.
So anyway, and with this comes government lockdowns, travel restrictions, and, you know, who knows what else. So yeah. So at least we should. And just by the way, again, he says he's not pushing products, and he's not. But the fact is, I think, yeah, we need to make sure our immune system is up to snuff. So, vitamin C, by the way, they've got the best vitamin C. It's excellent C. And in my view, it's the best vitamin C on the market. That's healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. Use the coupon code HR5. And folks, I wouldn't say this if I didn't mean it. You will notice a difference taking the Ultimate Multiple, the single vitamin every day, or the nutritional supplement every day. That and the vitamin C, the vitamin B, D3. Man, you got it going for you. So healthmasters.com, HR5, and the coupon code at checkout. That's the coupon code at checkout, healthmasters.com. And thank you for having such a quality product, Austin, and you and your family. It's really good to have that relationship and have that product availability. So, yeah, that this is a concern. Anyway.
No, I appreciate that. No, you're 100% accurate. And Rappaport may be right on the head with it as well. Ted and I were actually talking about that earlier on our show, is that we've seen this repeatedly, and we've seen it almost always invariably to push a vaccine, to push more restrictions. I mean, China right now they're on full-blown lockdown mode. I mean, they're like in Wuhan or whatever, they're like, you can't go anywhere. You can't leave the city. You can't come into the city. Now they're telling people not to leave their house.
Yeah.
And so is that a dud? Are they doing this to kind of beta test it? Or is this something that's basically escalating? Again, we're going to have to just get prepared and make sure, you know, the worst case scenario is that it does start spreading. If it's best case scenario, it's another scare. And be aware that if you start seeing a real heavy push for vaccines, as we've seen in numerous other cases, like with the Zika, they started trying to push the Zika vaccine. Well, then we found out that the small heads that were the big symptoms in South America, we found out that had nothing even to do with Zika. It was basically a lot of the industrial waste byproducts and the pesticides and all the stuff that these women were being exposed to down there from all the bioengineered food they were growing. And the same thing we saw down here in Florida. So everybody was freaking out. Florida's got Zika. What are you guys going to do? And I'm like, dude, this isn't an issue. This is a non-issue. They're blowing it up. So is that the case in China? I don't know. Is Rappaport right on this? I don't know. We've seen it repeatedly where they've done this, you know, problem, action, solution. Oh, we created the issue. We pushed the problem. We basically, here's the action. Now we have the solution. Here's the vaccine. I don't know. I'm just, that's really where I'm at with this. But one thing, like I said, that was troubling to me, and this could have been done as a psych-op with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Johns Hopkins University. It could go either way. They could have done this to increase the fear and panic because they knew they would release this study and basically this whole test to see what would happen on this, you know, this basically capstone program, and they knew it was going to get people spooked. Or they could have done it legitimately because they knew something ahead of time about this coronavirus planning on getting released. And again, just use wisdom, use hygiene. If you're riding on a plane, wear one of the N95 masks, the like masks you wear if you're doing like drywall or something.
Yep.
I always kept a box at my house, a box of like 20 or 30 of them as backups, whether I'm working at the house, whether it's just something going on, because they're saying now, and from what I've seen and researched it, this coronavirus is spread literally just by droplets, basically by coughing. So coughing or sneezing is what's transferring this.
It's airborne, right?
We call that airborne. Right. That's what's sketchy about it. Because, and now they're saying that it's got some, in some cases, a 2-week incubation period, meaning you can get it, you can be carrying it, you can be spreading it, and you're zero symptoms. You're not symptomatic whatsoever. And then you start becoming symptomatic. All of a sudden, they're looking at it and going, dude, this is, when's the last time you got exposed to this? Oh, yeah, well, I was in Wuhan 2-3 weeks ago. Okay, and you just flew back 3 weeks ago and now you're seeing symptoms? Yeah, that's basically what happened with this lady over in Chicago. So again, use wisdom. I had a friend of mine come in yesterday, a lady that I know is a customer. She's flying out of California in like a week, week and a half. So she bought a bunch of astragalus, a bunch of sea. She had to go out there for work. And I told her, I said, I put a 95 respirator mask on. I said, if you don't want to wear it in the, you know, the airport, because they don't let you wear a mask, you know, in the airport a lot of times for security purposes, I said, take it off. I said, when you board that plane, I said, put that thing on. I said, I wouldn't want to be in a closed, encapsulated airplane. I said, all it takes is one person on that airplane to be carrying it and coughing and hacking, and it's getting circulated through that entire plane. And essentially, the entire plane's contaminated now. Now, is everybody going to catch it? I don't know. It depends on basically how aggressive this is. Everybody going to get extremely sick? I don't know. A lot of people are probably going to get this stuff, and they're not going to get that symptomatic because everybody's immune systems are different. But as far as I'm concerned, it's winter. The weather's super sketchy right now. You might as well rack up a bunch of nutrients and keep your system as strong as it can be, because there's definitely something strange going on, whether they're lying to us and bluffing it and spooking it like they did with SARS, or if they're doing this basically, and this is something they wanted to beta test now and see how hard traction they could get it to pull. I don't know. We're just going to have to keep monitoring it and see, Doug.
Yeah. You know, even on you mentioned airplanes. To me, even on a good day, the best day these days, okay, flying on an airplane is gross. I mean, it's just, there was a study done, unofficial, informal study done about the floors of an airplane, and you know, people walking, you know, on long flights, you got people taking off their shoes, which I never. Oh gosh, I long for the days when flying was a luxury as opposed to, you know, a Greyhound bus in the sky. But that said, I mean, even on a good day, the airplanes are harbingers of, or are carriers of disease and yuck. There's a big yuck factor. So, but yes, you're correct. We need to, at least we need to approach this with sobriety. And I'm glad you said, I don't know, because there are so many people out there. So, oh, I know this for a fact. And no, you don't. No, you don't. We don't know. We don't have enough information right now to really make a very good, assessment of where we're at. But one thing we do know, and one thing I do know, is it's necessary for us to keep our systems up. And we do that through healthmasters.com, HR5 coupon code. I just want to make sure I got that in there. But yes, I'm glad you said you don't know, because we really don't know. But if it's not this, I guarantee it's going to be something else. You know, I don't know. There will be, I think, well, let me ask you, do you think there will be some sort of pandemic, whether it's weaponized or not, that's going to do a number on our population at some point?
And Ted and I have gone back and forth on this a lot, because, you know, a lot of times you start seeing some of the alternative medias start talking about the constant nuclear threat. You know, as we see the stuff with Iran go on and Middle East and blah, 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 you know, the whole spiel. And so everybody's like, oh, we're going to go to nuclear war again. We're going to nuclear war. I really doubt we would go to a nuclear war option, because if we did, the entire infrastructure of the 5G and 6G, 6 Genesis system that they're starting to get ready to roll out now, the whole Internet of Things would cease to exist. I mean, it would just dissipate. I mean, when you have a war of that level, there is no infrastructure left.
Right.
Easiest way to knock out a huge swath of the population is with a pandemic. I mean, we saw that with the Spanish flu. When you start having a large percentage of the population die off, there's no infrastructure loss. There's nothing. It's basically, once you clear the area, once you contain it, and once you burn the bodies, basically, you just move on. And so I personally think, yes, I think that's going to be the way the globalists use the tool to try to bring down a good portion of the American population. That's just my opinion. Because, I mean, we've seen on Deagle, you know, where they talk about, you know, like, what, 200-something million people in the United States population is supposed to drop by 2025.
Yeah.
I mean, Deagle projects like 65 million people in the United States by 2025. I mean, there's been other things they've done and projections in the past they've been accurate about. So is this a psych-op? Are they saying this to try to mess with everybody's mind? Or are they telling us something? Hey, this is what we're planning on doing. You know, this is not going to be what you guys think it is. We're not going to go to a full-blown shooting civil war in the United States and blow up our entire infrastructure and start having, you know, militant, you know, just patriots going in. Because, I mean, that's the truth. Because, you know, if we went to a full-blown armed revolution again, similar to the Revolutionary War, except with a lot more weaponry and a lot more technology. Have you seen in Afghanistan, Iraq, all those countries over there? When you start having basically the militants, or basically the insurgents, you like to call them, whatever opposing force the government's trying to take over, or the larger military's trying to take over, everything always ends up going to IEDs and infrastructure, basically bombs. And breaking down the electric panels, breaking down the water plants, breaking down the dams. That's what you do in most cases if you can't win in a head-to-head conflict. I'm talking from past history war. And so they know that, and they know that's basically the route it would go. I mean, the 5G system would cease to exist. You want to see how quick the Patriots want to deal with a 5G Internet of Things swirling around our head, monitoring everything we do, if it went to a full-blown Revolutionary War II? I can guarantee you right now, every single 5G tower in every single area would be gone. It would cease to exist, and they know that.
Right.
And so these are why the pandemics have always kind of gotten my attention in some cases. Are they fear-mongering? Possibly. Are they something that they keep beta testing to see what's going to catch? It's also strange to me that, you know, we've heard all this rhetoric about Ebola again in Africa, then Ebola issues in the United States, couple of them. And then you see that the same lab in Wuhan that was investigating or working on these viruses also was working on Ebola as well. So this also may be a multi-tiered plan. They may release this, then they may release something else. And that way, what it's going to do is a lot of people's immune systems are going to be compromised from being exposed to the coronavirus, but they may push through it just fine without incident. Well, then you drop another virus in the batch, because from what I've pretty much gathered and been told by numerous people that are pretty intelligent and educated and know more people than I do, they've said when it starts, as far as when the globalists decide to drop the hammer, they want to try to basically finalize the overtaking of the United States. It's not going to be one incident. It's not going to be Virginia trying to take the guns. It'll be the entire aspect of the United States signing an assault weapon bill. At the same time, we're going to see a virus come in. At the same time, we're going to see some massive invasion from another thing. At the same time, we're going to see a terrorist attack. Now, whether or not it's going to happen, I don't know. But that being said, we all need to be as prepared as possible all the time. We're even working with a company right now on new organic food buckets, basically for storage, and have them as clean as possible, with as easy to cook as possible, with as highest amount of calories possible. Because, you know, the old food buckets we had, we carried, the manufacturer went out of business, so we don't have those really anymore. I think we had a couple left in stock that we have, and so we've got them discounted, but we're working on new ones coming in, because it's really crucial, because the more self-sufficient we can become, the better off we're going to be when something like this happens. Because if you got a bunker down in your house and there is some real true pandemic going on, you don't want to have to go outside for water, for food, for stuff. You want to be able to pretty much function closed in and sealed up as much as possible if you have to do that. And I know it's a worst case scenario, but it's always something you got to think about when you start seeing stuff like this floating around.
Yeah, I'm in 100% agreement with that. And people used to and still do mock us for preparation, calling us, you know, doomsday preppers and things like that, when in fact preparation is just a natural function that we should adopt. I mean, look at the homesteaders, look at the people who have come before us and how they approached and got through lean times. It's through preparation. So we need to be thoughtful, and we need to do this. And to heck with the people who, you know, say, yeah, it's all doomsday mush. But no, it's not. It's responsible planning. I'm going to ask a slip a question in here, kind of change directions just momentarily. Last time we spoke, it's been a while. What do you think of the Virginia rally? I wanted to ask you about that.
I thought it was handled amazingly well. I was very impressed with everybody over there. It's ironic to see tens of thousands of firearms and tens of thousands of patriots showing up fully armed and full kit and full loaded weapons and not a single incident. I mean, that goes to show you right there the fear-mongering that the hardcore leftists constantly try to push in the media, that, you know, the patriots are bad and anybody has an AR-15 is bad. I mean, when's the last time you saw that many loaded guns in the hands of operators, or not just operators, in civilian hands, walking around, and not a single incident? No fights. I think there was one arrest that I heard about, and it was a lady that kept putting like a mask on.
Yes.
And she was worn like three times. And the problem was, I couldn't even find out if she was a patriot or if she was like a leftist or an agitator, because the photo that I saw of her, I mean, her attire, everything else was kind of strange. But again, I couldn't get any more research on it. That's the only thing I saw. And so, I mean, an incident like that, and then you got one person that gets arrested for basically wearing a mask and refusing to take it off. I mean, that was incredible. The one guy running around with the M107 Barrett 50 cal.
I saw that.
That was fantastic. I mean, I had to give him kudos for lugging that thing around all day. That's a heavy weapon. I've shot those before. They're a blast, but I mean, golly, that's a heavy weapon to rack around all day. I thought it turned out great. I was incredibly disappointed with Northam and the politicians, and blatantly came out and basically said, you know, it doesn't matter. We're not going to do anything different. We're still going to pass these bills, which on Wednesday they did. The Senate approved the red flag gun law bill as well now. So they're pushing all these. They're not stopping. They pretty much dropped the assault weapon ban off the table, because that's what they've always done. If you've watched it in every state when they've done this, they always come out with these unbelievably aggressive gun bills. There's backlash. So then they come in and say, we need to make sure we have common sense gun laws. The red flag gun laws are, you know, only thing we need to have. The problem is the red flag gun laws are a nightmare because it's escalating. Down here in Florida now, our entire Republican, I think Senate is, or not only the entire Senate, but a good portion of them have already said they're supporting the expansion of red flag gun laws. And that's the issue that I have with them, is that once they're on the books in almost every state, they've constantly been getting expanded. The scope grows larger. The people that can snitch on you gets bigger. The ease of seizing your weapons without due process becomes more simplistic. And this is what happens every time now, these red flag gun laws. So Virginia, it's not into law yet from what I've read. The Senate did pass it, though. But the gun rally was great. I was very impressed. I wish I'd been able to get up there. I wasn't able to get up there. But good thing down here in Florida, we've been hammering the county commissioners. Polk County, the big county right in the middle of the state that I live in, we have now, as of, I think, Tuesday, declared formally on paper that we are now classifying Polk County as a Second Amendment sanctuary county in the state of Florida. Again, a lot of that's symbolic. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, we get to run around and do whatever we want now and build, you know, M134 miniguns without a tax stamp. But it means basically that we're showing a presence that by our county commissioners are writing it into writing that we are here to protect and uphold the Second Amendment, and we are not going to have our rights violated whatsoever. Is that going to prevent something from being written, you know, a governor later on? Or I don't know. But again, it's something that's important to have on paper, so at least we're showing that from a resistance standpoint that we're not going to tolerate this. Virginia obviously did it. Almost the whole state did it. It still doesn't matter. Their entire hardcore leftist Democratic politicians that are running that state now are obviously hell-bent on trying to seize weapons and take their rights away as much as possible.
So what do we do? And that was my question right after the rally. So now that, so you've got this announcement, we are passing these laws, or we're introducing these laws and going to pass these laws. Very, very oppressive, very tyrannical laws. So then you've got, an incredible show of patriotic constitutional force.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So you've got that. They pass the laws. There's still a force. Now what do we do? Austin, I'm asking you, what do we do? What's left to do?
Here's what I've pretty much, because I've discussed this with a couple of my sheriff buddies down here, because this is obviously, and that's a very good question, by the way, because that's something that's very troubling to a lot of, you know, Virginia citizens. Now what's going to come down to is, remember, the politicians don't enforce the laws. They sub out to other sheriff's departments, police. That's how it works. You know, the laws trickle down. The sheriff, basically the leading, you know, law enforcement in the county, enforce the law, and then it breaks down to basically city and so forth. So what's going to have to happen now, and this is what's going to be very, very crucial, and we saw multiple sheriff's departments that showed up in support of that rally in Virginia, which I was very proud of those guys. So what we're going to see now is if they sign these into law and they start pushing hardcore red flag gun laws, they start banning stuff, they start basically stating all this, it's now going to be the sheriff's sole responsibility not to enforce unconstitutional gun laws. Meaning if it violates United States law and it violates Virginia constitutional law with what Northam's doing, which it blatantly does, it's his responsibility as the sheriff of that county not to enforce it. Every sheriff of every county is going to be the responsibility to do so. So I encourage everybody up there in Virginia to make sure you're contacting your local sheriff and make sure your voice is heard, and also understand where his stance is. Is he a leftist do-boy pig that's basically going to do exactly what Northam tells him to do, or is he going to resist it? That's the stance that it goes to next. If that sheriff basically decides he is going to enforce those unconstitutional laws, you have basically two options. You can move out of the county. You can move to a county that likes you, that supports your rights, or you can basically have a armed militia standoff when it starts to escalate, which that's going to go poorly. It's going to go bad for everybody on both sides. But that really is kind of trickling it down to break it down as simplistic as possible. That's where it's coming down to in those two options, really. You're either going to have to find a county that supports your rights, and the sheriff is going to stick up for your rights and tell Northam no. And then the sheriff at that point is going to have the confrontation with Northam if Northam wants to do the National Guard move, which I don't think he could successfully pull off, because I think too many National Guard members are going to say basically, kick rocks, dude, I'm not doing this. I mean, this is my state, this is my city, this is my county, this is where I live. I'm not going to start going and arresting people. Again, though, it also depends on what the media does and how they spin it. obviously, if you start having situations to where the sheriff's department is put in a precarious situation to where everybody is on the media getting slammed, and they're basically stating that the sheriff doesn't want to enforce gun or what is it they constantly say all the time, common sense gun laws, and that the sheriff is basically in out of rank and he's basically failing to protect its citizens. At that point, the governor, I know, I think can unseat him, because DeSantis did that with Sheriff Israel, the blithering sheriff that was down in South Florida that allowed the Parkland shooting to continue to go on and told his, you know, his fire team, his SWAT team to stand down and the medic team to stand down and not go into school while there's an active shooter. And DeSantis unseated him. He kicked him out. So Northam does have that ability to do so, in my opinion. And at that point, it's just up to the sheriff if he wants to assemble his full SWAT team and his full sheriff's department for an armed standoff with the state. That's where that's going to go with it. So, I mean, there's not much buffer room left. But to answer your question, there's no real good answer to it. But if they value their rights up there and they value their ability to protect themselves and they value standing up to full-blown tyranny, those are pretty much the only solutions they have in Virginia now, Doug.
Wow. Something to think about. And I think all of us need to take inventory, in my view, of where we're at collectively and where we are at, each one of us, and decide and plan accordingly. Healthmasters.com, by the way, is Austin's website, healthmasters.com. That's where I get nutritional supplements from. My wife, my family, Eric the Tech, his family, and just about everyone we know. They've got the best nutritional supplements on the market, bar none, in my view. Not making any medical claims, but I'll tell you what, taking my blood pressure or blood sugar protocol has changed my entire diagnosis, my health issues. I'm telling you, it works. It from their ultimate multiple, vitamin C, vitamin D3, vitamin B. Oh my goodness, their supplements are the best. So go to healthmasters.com, use coupon code HR5. I'm right, right? That's still active, right?
HR5, yep.
Okay, all right. Just checking. But do it now. Do it before the weekend is over, please. Okay? And while you're shopping, and oh, by the way, Health Masters has got a lot of information, a lot of good articles, and a lot of good, great resources at healthmasters.com. But while you're doing that, go ahead and listen to the latest broadcast and archive broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. All right. Wow. So where to next here topically?
Well, I mean, as far as everything else is going on, I mean, I'm sure I really, even on our show, I haven't been covering this whole impeachment charade much of anymore. I mean, this thing's turned into such a, you know, almost like a comedy, a bad comedy show now. It's a joke. And I mean, what almost is troubling to me, though, like actually really troubling to me, is that these congressional leaders are trying to pretend like they're doing this for the people and by the people. And Trump didn't follow the Constitution. He thinks is above the law, when they literally sit there in front of some of the most corrupt leaders we've ever had in the entire country in the past, and supported them, protected them, and defend them, being Biden and his whole charade that he was involved in, Obama, Clinton, the list goes down the line. And so the hypocrisy knows no bounds with these people, and we're seeing that very clearly now. And I'm honestly surprised. I really, really, really hope the American population, even Democrats that, you know, may not be pro-Trump but are pro-truth, that they really get together in the election this year and vote a lot of these clowns out. Because, I mean, we got some real true circus clowns in Congress right now with what they're doing and how much money and time they're wasting and all these other things going on right now in this country. And they have nothing better to do but try to push their agenda to unseat a president because they simply don't like what he says. I mean, it almost boggles my mind, Doug, to be honest with you.
You know, I was listening to his comments the other day. I'm not even sure what day it was. And he referenced, I think it was Schiff or maybe Nadler as a, if I'm remembering this correctly, a scumbag. I'm not sure if I, forgive me folks if I am incorrect, but it was that or something very close to that. And I'm thinking, you know, that people might take issue with that kind of characterization and that, you know, that brassness and you know, how outspoken he is, speaking his mind. But to me, Austin, we have spent years, decades of listening to these polished politicians who have lined their pockets, who've made their careers and their fortunes on our backs. And now we got a regular guy out there, to me, calling it like it is. You know, he's a scumbag. Okay. I mean, hey, it might not be politically correct or even decorum wise, the best thing to say, but nonetheless, it's true. At least in his opinion and most of ours. So I'm kind of refreshed to see that common talk, but boy, it's shaken up a lot of people. And, you know, I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't think the going to impeachment, Austin, I don't think he's going to be impeached necessarily, but I think that the assumption that he won't is equally dangerous. I think that we can't assume anything. I think that we have to, they want him gone. Man, they want him gone more than anything in the world. And most surely they don't want him elected in 2020. So I'm thinking, what are they going to do? How are they going to, you know, not lose?
Well, and that's pretty much what we've seen with these guys is they're, like I said a minute ago, their hypocrisy knows no bounds. They have no line in the sand that they won't cross. I mean, we saw this from the very beginning when he got elected, when every single thing they could possibly pull dirt up on him, all the way from his attorney that he had to the porn star. I mean, everything they could possibly drag up on him, they did. And then, of course, the whole Russian collusion started, and tens of millions of dollars was spent on that absolutely abysmal failure. And then they came out and said, okay, well, now we're going to try to impeach him for a conversation that he had that was not illegal in any context whatsoever, because a whistleblower that we won't release and nobody can interview said this. I mean, the whole thing, it seriously is a joke. And like you said, though, I don't know if there's a limit to which they'll go. If this gets over with and the Senate says enough of this crap, shut up, we're not impeaching it, go home and be quiet, nobody wants to listen to you morons anymore, we're done, and Trump walks on it, which I personally think he will, but like you said, there's no doubt that they'll try to pull something else. If the Senate lets him walk, they're more than likely going to pull something else out of a hat again. And they're going to pull some stupid rabbit and be like, oh, well, now we know that he had a conversation with Mr. the short man in North Korea, and he said this to him, so we're investigating him on this now. It's not going to stop with him. They're going to do everything they can to tarnish his reputation for the rest of his entire presidency. Even if he wins the 2020 election, it's not going to stop. But also remember, too, all of this is an incredibly effective distraction to the general population, because a lot of people, you and I are smart, your listeners are smart, our listeners are smart. A lot of the general population, though, they stay glued to CNN on a regular basis. They get updates from their local mainstream news on a regular basis.
Yeah.
They're living in this right now. They're watching it every single day. And a lot of the people will stay focused as long as they have something negative to focus on all the time. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. Doesn't matter if it's real or not. Doesn't matter if it's going anywhere or not. They'll stay focused on it because they have nothing else to do, because the general population is easily susceptible to the globalist psychops. And so the globalists don't want everybody talking about what's really going on with glyphosate still on the market. They don't want people to talk about the aborted fetal tissue and DNA strands that are in the MMR vaccine. They don't want people to talk about the fact that we can simply add another $50 to $60 million to the Border Patrol budget, and we can stop significant amount by putting another 2,000 or 3,000 border agents on the border on a regular basis. They don't want to talk about any of that. So the impeachment is a perfect distraction to keep people focused in on that. Because remember, right after this impeachment is over with, what's going to start next? the presidential election, and all you're going to see is debates and commercials and debates and commercials, and that's all they're going to talk about. It's a perfect roll-in segue to the presidential debate, and that's what I think a lot of this is. I think it's being done as a distraction with kind of a Hail Mary throw that maybe they can throw him out because they dislike him so much, but at the very least, it's an incredible distraction to keep the general population subdued, as always, like they like to keep them.
Exactly. And I wonder sometimes, Austin, there are so many things going on, and it's a lot of people will say, well, this is a distraction. That's a distraction. But what are we being distracted from? And I guess you kind of answered that question in a sense, but the bigger picture here is really the complete takedown of our society, this, our subjugation to a global power structure. By the way, Brexit taking place, right? The end of the month. So that's a good thing. But in a sense, the members of the deep state are kind of losing ground in certain areas, gaining other ground. So it's a push-pull, constant tension, in different areas of the situation. But again, okay. All right. So yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and to add one more thing, like for example, I don't think it was coincidental at all that this whole impeachment proceeding started off right after this gun rally finished. Now, obviously, the dates and stuff, because they fall as far as the way they do as far as the committee and the meeting and all that, I get that. But to me, it seemed really funny that we have this huge gun rally.
Right.
Patriot population descends on the Virginia Capitol. We show them, without any type of restriction, the fact that we will not be silenced and our firearms will not be taken. And so it made mainstream news. You know, it was pretty big in mainstream news for about a day. And then, of course, they came up with all the crap. Oh, there were white supremacists were going to it, and Northam did such a good job at controlling the whole thing. He did a fantastic job of not letting it escalate. Kudos to Northam. I'm so happy. I'm like, you guys nauseate me. You act like that's the reason why nothing happened. No, the reason nothing happened is because we didn't allow anything to happen. That's why nothing happened.
Hell, we cleaned up after ourselves. Exactly. Took garbage out of there. Go on.
Pack in and pack out. And that's what's always funny to me, when you'll see some of these global warming rallies, and these people like, oh, stop global warming, stop eating cows, we only need soy burgers and be soy boys, and we need to basically give all our money to the globalists because they say we need to give them our money. And then they get done with the rally, and there's piles of trash everywhere that they just throw on the ground. And I'm like, man, you guys are real good environmentalists here. I mean, you just throw, oh yeah, styrofoam, oh yeah, just throw it everywhere, throw it everywhere. Dump it on the streets, cool, it's great, it's wonderful, we don't have to worry about it. And this is what last got such a kick the other day when Trump was doing that interview, and one of the guys asked him about that Greta child, the little brat child, the 16-year-old that's running around yelling at everybody all the time. And they asked him, well, what do you think about her? And he's like, I think she needs to go talk to countries that significantly pollute. It's the United States, the level of pollution, you look at it, like our level of plastic pollution, we're like the bottom of the list. Our carbon monoxide allegedly is high, but that whole thing's a farce in most cases. Then you go look at China, and they're like the most polluting country. And then you got India as well, second like most polluting country. You got Qatar and all these other ones that have carbon monoxide much higher. And he's like, why don't you go talk to China? Why don't you go over to China and get on a podium and start yelling at basically the communist dictator of China and see how long that lasts and how long they listen to you and put up with your crap? That's basically what he implied. And I just chuckled at him because I was like, why don't you do that? Why don't you go to China and start protesting, start running your little 16-year-old mouth about how bad they are in China? You're going to find yourself in a Chinese gulag. They're going to say, hey, guess what? You're not going anywhere now. We don't want to listen to your big mouth anymore. You're just going to sit here for a year. We'll figure out what we're going to do with you. And nobody's going to hear from you ever again until we allow you to speak. And she'll find out real quick what happens in a communist dictatorship. But I got a kick out of that when I saw Trump bring that up the other day.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good, the way he did that. So, yeah. Oh, man. It's wow. Well, as we close the week, I got to ask you, to, if you don't mind, kind of recap. I haven't done this before, so I'm going to ask you to do it now. Recap your week of shows. So when people go to healthmasters.com, they can get an idea, or at least they have an idea when they go there, what you guys talked about this week on your show. That's healthmasters.com. Do you mind doing that? Just kind of.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, obviously the beginning of the week on Monday, we were giving coverage as fast as we could get it, in Virginia. You know, we had some people that we knew up there. We were trying to basically give the information as best we could. We also went into a lot of detailed health stuff on Tuesday, as far as in general, all the way from, you know, basically cleaning out the kidney and the livers, keeping the immune system strong. Big article that I did on Wednesday, basically on the POFAs and the DuPont and the Teflon and all the toxicity that basically goes into the systems that still hasn't been banned yet, and how toxic that stuff is and how it's in the water supply, and a research study all over the country. Almost every water supply has been contaminated with this stuff, and it never dissipates in the body, and it's been linked to cancer on so many different research studies, but yet the EPA still hasn't banned it. They still allow it to be in the water supply. Surprise, surprise. Then, of course, we talked in detail more on yesterday on what's been going on with this virus, kind of, you know, on and off of things that are happening. And then, of course, today I went into more detail on the show of exactly what we talked about today and how the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, everything involving that's been going on. And, of course, the free speech intrusion, and we're starting to see how we saw this article the other day of how the guy, he's a dude that pretends he's a girl that's now fighting girls in MMA, has now fractured two different MMA female fighter skulls.
And I now saw that. Yeah.
And blithering liberal idiot, just a sicko, pro-LGBT girl came out and said basically this guy that's pretending he's a girl is the bravest transgender athlete in history right now.
What?
And I bit my teeth when I saw that. I got so mad. And I'm looking at him like, you absolute piece of crap. This guy is a dude getting in the ring and beating these women and cracking their skulls. And you're going to have the audacity to call him the bravest transgender athlete in history? I mean, if I would have seen her in person, I would have unloaded verbally on her. I was so mad when I saw that article, Doug.
You mean him?
Oh, it makes me mad now. I was bringing it up again.
Yeah. I mean, you mean him. Him there. I'm so confused.
He's a cross-dresser. He's right. A dude. It's a dude that's cross-dressing, that's pretending like he's a girl, that's got clearance to get in a cage fight with females.
That, exactly. Which there's nothing that makes sense about that in my view.
No, zero.
Right. Right.
Zero.
None. And we, you know what? I think to me, this is one of the areas that we cannot have any compromise, that no. We've got to take this back.
This has to go back. Think about it. Think about it. If you had a daughter. I got a daughter. She's wanting to get into mixed martial arts. I grew up in fighting. I grew up in karate. And all of a sudden you find out there's a dude in the class that's training with him that thinks he's a girl, and he's fighting your daughter now, beating the yik yak out of her all the time. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. He identifies as a girl. No, I'm not okay with that at all. Period. Zero.
No. And it's amazing how quickly the left denies science, denies the fact that, you know, there's two genders, but you know, it's okay. It's not okay. We have to take this back. And you know, I go back to what Coach Dave Dobmeier had said right after the Obergefell decision was, about homosexual marriage and stuff. Look, the Bible, we as Christians are under assault. Conservative Christians, are under assault. The science is being denied on this subject alone, yet, you know, they'll embrace. Well, it's just crazy. So I think we really have to, we've got to fight ahead of ourselves, and we have to prevail, or else we're going to lose a lot more than elections. We're going to start losing our civilization, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy. We got we're out of time, Austin. Healthmasters.com. Any words of advice in 15 seconds for the weekend or for listeners or whatever. 15 seconds.
Take care of yourself. Take care of your body. Put the best quality supplements and food you can physically put in your body. Stay self-sufficient and don't be politically correct. political correctness is what's causing these things to happen. Speak your mind. Speak the truth. Be respectful. Don't be militant. But always speak the truth when you know it to be the truth.
Amen, brother. True words never truer. God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much. All right, folks, that'll do it. We're out of time. Healthmasters.com, HR5, is the coupon code. HR5 at healthmasters.com. There it is on your screen. Folks, I need the bean. Grab the bean. HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com. I need the bean. May God bless each and every one of you. Eric the Tech, thank you so very much for a great week. Brandon House, thank you for sitting in. All my guests, all our listeners, may God bless each and every one of you. Have a good night.